This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tiger baseball less than a week away. How about that? And I feel like the buildup for this season isn't really there. Injuries to Parker Meadows and Matt Vierling, who was the backup plan to Bregman, who they didn't land in free agency, right? Now we're pinning our hopes on Baez and Torque playing bigger roles, guys that the fan base didn't even want to have on the roster at this point. And I feel like a lot of the talk on the run-up up to the season is pessimistic, right? Whether you want it to be true or not, I think most fans have had this black cloud over the start of the Tigers season. And they're coming off of a playoff appearance, a playoff series win, one win away from the ALCS. And I don't feel like we've talked about this team as a team that can get to the next level based on the offseason. But ESPN has their breakout candidates for this year's baseball season, and they list the Tigers fourth among all baseball to have a breakout season. So I wonder, what are we missing? Let us know. And I have some theories and ways that the season could break right for the team. But what do you guys think? If the Tigers do have a breakout, what would lead to that? What are we sleeping on as we get to the start of the season here? 248-539-9797.
So if that is to happen, I think there needs to be a nerve that wakes up for Parker Meadows sooner rather than later.
So he only misses like a month, we'll say.
I'm hoping
ideally less.
Ideally maybe only 2 weeks.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't had an update. I know he hasn't been in the lineup, and I don't know really what he's doing behind the scenes. So I don't know how long that's going to be. I don't know that they even know.
My point is, if he missed a month, like he woke up today and he still needed 2-3 weeks to ramp up, gets to the team, it's a month. That'd still be more Parker Meadows than we had last year, which would be a positive.
Correct.
So that's one way where you can go, okay, actually, it's not as doom and gloom as we may think. Okay, that's one thing.
All right. Spencer Torkelson. I think this is going to be it's going to be a wonder. And it could be a wonder in a positive way. I think it's a wonder right now because nobody has any idea what to think. Even as of 2 days ago, they're facing the Sox, the Red Sox, and he goes 2 of 3. He's batting .325. It also had a walk. Like he's getting on base. He's making contact. Leads the team with 4 home runs in spring. Like it's, could he have found his swing? And 2 years ago we thought it happened,
right?
And then last year happened, and it was horrific. And now all of a sudden, we thought going into spring, there's no chance he's going to be on the roster. He's going to start in AAA. And there's probably no chance he really ever comes up. Like this is going to be, he could be a part of the organization for a few years, but there's really nothing from Spencer Torkelson.
Right.
Now, if they are going to be that quote unquote breakout team, they will need him. They will have to have him. Whether it's at first, field, or it's a DH, like if he can hit at this pace, he's batting .325. I don't expect that either. But does that not amaze you? Like right now, in just even in spring training, he couldn't do that last year,
right?
And so I think that is one that maybe we are underestimating.
So think about this. So he had 30 home runs 2 years ago. There's clearly power in the bat. He was a mess last season, right? You couldn't hit the fastball over the middle of the plate. There's no better way to describe you than a mess. That's a pitch a major leaguer should be able to hit, and he should still be able to hit. He actually had a higher OPS in September than Colt Keith did. and he has a better MLB track record than Colt Keith has. If he is even shades of the player of 2 years ago, that would do so much for this team. This lineup, their ability to hit right-handed pitching.
Right, but so...
Or okay. left-handed pitching, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, that would be huge.
So Colt Keith, we just mentioned Spencer Torkelson, 325 in spring training. Guess who's been hitting better than Spencer Torkelson?
Who?
Colt Keith. I'm not by much, 326.
Yeah.
So they're in essence the same. But
if you're getting production out of first base, you weren't a year ago between the two of them.
First and DH.
Sure, yeah.
All right. And do we think Gleyber Torres could be an upgrade this year over Colt Keith of last year?
Offensively, yes.
Okay. Defensively, you know.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. But so now all of a sudden you've got an upgrade on the right side of the infield if you're looking from home plate.
Yeah.
And on the left side, Javi Baez makes the transition to third. Defensively, he is good. Offensively, right now he's batting .214. Is that not an upgrade over what he did last year?
It's not saying much, but okay.
So the low bar,
yeah.
But he's still over that bar.
Again, this is the case for the Tigers to be better than last year.
Uh-huh. Trey Sweeney defensively. Pretty
That's
good
solid.
Last year. Yeah. Solid at shortstop.
And get a full season of that.
Uh-huh. And I mean, he's not really hitting in spring. It's 184. So not excited about that. And then you think about the pitching staff as we stay in the infield, mm-hmm. the pitching staff, Tarek Skubal, Jack Flaherty back for another season. And now Casey Mize having a good spring, and you've got competition for those two starting spots. Jackson Jobe might be a part of the mix. You know, he's not trying the data Nat's ass.
Just blowing it by, guys.
Just, yeah. Hey, if you can hit it, good luck. Like, I still go back to that quote. It's
a great quote. Yeah.
And so the pitching staff to start the season, we have no idea about injuries, missed games, missed starts. It feels like even though it was good last year, could be even better.
Yeah.
The outfield, we mentioned Parker Meadows. Eventually at center field, Riley Green in left, another year under his belt, another year of experience. We do expect him to continue to be a little bit better, marginally, but a little bit better. He's been good. He was all-star last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then McKinstry bopping around. You know, Justin Henry Molloy with
That's
the bat.
That's a big name.
Carpenter, if you can get him as your DH.
He missed a bunch of time last year. Again, if Carpenter's healthy and Molloy gets a full season, they're ideal platoon partners. Combined, they give you a masher in the top half of your order.
Did I just not paint a rosy picture?
You know, and that's what we're asking of you guys. Cast aside the clouds that hang over this season. And
we didn't even mention Perez.
Well, there you go. Let us know. What is it that would lead this team to a breakout? ESPN has a model. It's some kind of data thing. They've simplified it, they claim, for this upcoming season. And they focus on teams that have a lot of players who might break out and rolled that into teams that could break out. They say there are two types of teams built for a breakout. Those that feature a lot of young players in important roles, and those with a number of key players coming off subpar or injured seasons who project to bounce back. Only the Giants, Brewers, and Rays are higher on their breakout list for the upcoming season. And that's not how we've talked about the Tigers. So, John, I think a couple things. Their pitching staff is going to make it so they don't have a collapse. It's going to keep them in the fight. They're going to be, I think, better on the mound this year than they were last year. When you throw in the fact that you should have Flaherty in the mix with a healthy Reese Olson, with Casey Mize getting a little more velo and swing and miss with the splitter. They have more pitching depth than they did a year ago. Alex Cobb isn't on the opening day rotation, but they did pay him. And at some point, I think he's going to pitch this season. They have more depth. Jackson Jobe won't be a guy who's just pitching in September. They'll have more depth. So I think the pitching keeps you kind of even keel through what could be some bumps and bruises with the lineup and defense. But for them to break out, you're right. You have to start highlighting some unexpected or surprises from guys. I think Justin Henry Molloy, I think Torkelson, those are going to have to be two really big keys for this team. And Baez, nobody expects anything of him. I'm certainly not expecting anything at the plate, but if he can be a glove at third, because they don't have enough good quality infield gloves, that would probably add a couple wins to this season.
So let me just give you some numbers. Now, these are spring training numbers.
Okay.
But if it translates even to a measure, if they're close to them, to start the regular season, because this is really where it amounts to, you're going to have to start really strong because of the way the schedule starts. Gleyber Torres, right now batting 323. Riley Green, just under 300. Mm-hmm. Andy Ibañez, 278. Spencer Torkelson, 325. Kerry Carpenter, 333. Colt Keith, 326. Javi Baez, 214, even though it's better than he was last year. Like, there is Justin Henry Molloy. Didn't even mention him.
What's he hitting right now?
Kerry Carpenter, like, I don't know. I don't have that.
You're good.
That number in front of me. But
as of a week ago, I think it was right around 300. So right. He's had a good spring.
And so, if you can get those type of bats, I mean, you're talking about that in and of itself would be amazing. Now, I don't think all of those numbers translate to the regular season. You're going to be facing much better pitching on a regular basis, especially when you open up against the Dodgers.
Molloy hitting 302 mm-hmm. in spring right now. Let's get the phone calls in. 248-539-9797. Devel in Madison Heights, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, gang.
What's up?
Oh, not too much. So here's what you kind of stole a little of my thunder. I do believe our pitching will be much better, starting pitching, because just by attrition, they're going to be, you know, on the mound and not injured. But the two names that I come up with, I think Torkelson will have a pretty decent start. And I really think, somebody mentioned it a minute ago, but Wenzel Perez, I just think he's just going to hold serve. I don't think he's going to be a disaster in center. I think he's going to hold serve just till Parker Meadows gets back. And you cannot undermine or undervalue a guy that's a switch hitter. Now, he hits way better left-handed, but, I mean, he's serviceable right-handed. I think if those three happen to pinch in, Torkelson, I think it's going to be way better. We're not asking Torkelson to be a world-beating hitter. Just, you know, about a 240 average, you know, 20 to 25 home runs, and we're good there. You know, and then with Perez, just serviceable. So, you know, just to hold down the fort and not kick the ball around the center field, I think we'll be just fine those three happen.
Are you talking yourself into a breakout?
Not really. I'm still looking like, we still got Javi over at third. I don't know what Justin Malloy.
Which is why this is such a fun exercise. Because, I ultimately don't buy that this team's going to be better than they were a year ago. I don't. But
neither do I.
But sometimes this is a healthy thing where you have to go, do I need to take a step back and take a deep breath and maybe I'm missing something? Which is why we brought this up. And I appreciate you throwing some things out there. Like, especially with this nerve issue, Wenzel Perez is going to have to be a guy.
Yeah.
That's one of the keys if they're going to break out. They're leaning on young players, players who have more in the tank, players who have an extra gear. We've asked you guys, if you don't like the dark clouds over the Tigers, well, bring some sunshine to the table. 248-539-9797. How does this come true where they are one of the four or five teams most likely to have a big-time breakout? This Bregman audio did make the rounds yesterday.
Yeah.
And Alex Bregman, it was a whole saga, a fiasco here where the Tigers desperately wanted to add him. He was their number one target. They made him the best offer in terms of years, security, and guaranteed money. And he didn't end up in Detroit. Well, yesterday he was on Foul Territory, one of his baseball shows, podcasts, and he spoke about the situation and how close it was that he would have been a Detroit Tiger. Do you buy that he thought he was going to Detroit the whole time?
If that's the case, and he thought it was nearly a done deal, what was holding up? The fact of signing the contract. Why not get with your team? Why not, you know, get to know some of the teammates? Why not make that decision? I think he was always holding out that there would have been something a little bit more, a little bit better. And I also don't believe, I know that Boston was rumored to be in and out and then back in. Same thing with Houston, where he was coming from. They were out, they were in, and then, you know, then they were ultimately out because they had decided to move on and sign somebody else. Cubs, same thing. The one constant throughout the entire process was Detroit. So it's not surprising to hear that maybe he thought he was going to Detroit, but, you know, it's what was the conversation between him and Scott Harris? More importantly, what was the conversation between him and A.J. Hinch?
Who he says he's talked to all offseason and knows very well.
And, you know, that last, quote unquote, half hour. I don't necessarily buy it that in the winning moments of this negotiation that all of a sudden Boston came in with something that was dramatically different.
Detroit had the opt-out after 2 years. He wanted the opt-out after one, is what we're led to believe was one of the sticking points. It sounds to me like he was sitting on Detroit's offer, hoping someone would get him out of that. Which doesn't sound like he was dying to go to Detroit. It felt like it was Detroit by default unless someone threw him a parachute.
Yeah, and I mean, in the end, you don't want to be a team that he settled for. I mean,
right.
We would love to have a third baseman right now.
Trust me, I would love Alex Bregman to be on this baseball team. I don't share the like jilted X mentality that I see from some Tiger fans. We didn't want him anyway. No, I very much wanted him to be a Detroit Tiger, and so did Scott Harris and AJ Hinch. So it's not that. It'd be great if he was here, but it's pretty obvious. He was waiting for someone to give him an out so he didn't have to sign here, which sucks. I mean, that's salt in the wound, especially given the fact that Jace Young, the backup plan, well, actually, Vierling, the backup plan, gets hurt. Then the backup to the backup plan, Jace Young, is going to start the year down in AAA. Yeah, it's salt in the open wound.
It is, and it doesn't do us any good, especially knowing that Jace Young, as you mentioned, did not perform in spring training like the Tigers or us wanted him to. And Matt Vierling, hurt. Now we're left with the platooning at that position. You're left with options of Javi Baez going from short to second, which that means probably Trey Sweeney at short. And when on days where Javi doesn't, and if Javi can't hit, do you go as far down the ladder as putting Cole Keith over there? Because Spencer Torkelson has hit. That's been a little bit of a bright spot. We don't know if that translates to regular
season. I don't
think
it's happening. I know you've mentioned the last couple days here because he played 1,000 innings of AAA minor league third base, but they have moved him to the right side of the infield. I don't think they think he's got a strong enough arm. And to the point now, they're teaching him first. I can't imagine last minute
they move him over to third.
Yeah, a week before the season. Hey, congrats. You're going back over to third.
We've seen Javi Baez, like last year, all right, he ended up having surgery. We've also seen times where he has been injured.
Yeah.
What happens if he goes down? What happens if something happens to Trey Sweeney? Like, I mean, those are contingency plans that you've got to account for versus, with 2 weeks remaining, this is a week ago, oh, well, let's try Spencer Torkelson in right field.
Yeah, it does feel, musical chairs, I think, is what was used in one of the updates today. It's been musical chairs for the Tigers. They don't have stability at a couple key positions defensively. And yet, the season's a week away.
It is a week away today.
If Bregman's a free agent next year, how do you feel about going through this whole saga again? Because we will.
That's a tough question.
If he hits, he's going to opt out.
If he hits and he opts out, he'll problem is, well, yeah, sure, he'll be attractive, but he's attractive and he's a year older.
Yeah.
And you missed a year of the prime. What are you going to get in terms of not just the first couple of years of the contract? Because that was never the concern in signing him.
No.
It was, are you going to give him a 5-year deal, 6-year deal? Someone even whispered 7. Now, all of a sudden, a year older, you're probably looking at
four, five
on the outside.
Yeah, but you're going to be willing to commit less money to him because you didn't get one of the prime years, right? Part of the reason to add him was to get this year. This is a prime year. If I'm signing you to a deal, I'm getting one less year. I might want to chop off a little bit of that annual cost.
And do you have to go through the same song and dance where you're not making a contingency plan because you think, hey, we're going to get Bregman. This deal is going to get done. And then does it happen again?
Look, if I was the Tigers and I got very little out of third base and Bregman hit 300 and was an all-star and maybe even wins a gold glove, he's opting out and he's going to command a lot of money. If I'm the Tigers, of course I'm interested. I'd make another competitive offer. But what I can't do is make the only option Bregman at third base, right? That would have to be what Scott Harris learns from all this is you make an offer to Alex Bregman, again, if it comes to it, but you draw a deadline, right? You say, you know what? We love you. We think we're giving you the best deal. We're going to look out for you. You know your manager's got your back here. Here's the deal. And if you don't accept by January 1, there's still a couple bats out there, just to use an example. We're moving on. That might be how I would approach it next time around is we'll give you the offer. You have to tell us if you're saying yes. And if you're not saying yes, you're saying no. And we're going to add someone who does want to be here.
Yeah.
Couple quick ticket texts. The Alex Bregman audio where he said he was going to be a Tiger the whole time until the very last second those Red Sox came in. It sounds like he was waiting for someone to come in and save him from coming to Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. We're bummed. Let's get the phones. Let's get to Mike in Woodhaven. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I think people are forgetting that Torkelson was drafted as a third baseman, and when he was in college, he was a pretty good third baseman, has an above-average arm, and why not give him a shot? He's got to be better than Baez over there.
Well, I don't know that Baez is going to be bad at third base.
Defensively, you're saying?
Defensively.
He doesn't hit.
Okay, well, we're talking about defense right now. And, I mean, what makes you believe, I know Torque has had a good spring, but what makes you believe he's going to hit when it comes time for the regular season?
I think he's finally figured it out. You can see a difference between last year and this year. Just I can see the difference from watching. He seems more focused and on his game. Last year, he was lost, and the best thing for him was getting sent down. But I'd try him at third base. That way you're not messing with putting people all over the place. And so, I really don't want to see him in right field.
Why don't you want to see him in right field?
I don't think he has the speed to be an outfielder.
Maybe. He played a little outfield in college. He played very little third base in college. And then he did briefly play a little third in the minors. Remember, the Tigers announced him as a third baseman. But I think they came to the conclusion early in his development, foot speed, reaction time, arm strength, whatever their determination was, he was not going to be a major league third baseman. And he hasn't played third base in years.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't played outfield in years.
Yeah. I guess the thought, though, is you can just stick a guy out in the outfield and deal with a little bit of a defensive loss. But if your guy at third can't play third defensively, you're going to be in for a mess of problems.
So it does seem like everybody that they've drafted has been third.
At one point, yeah.
I mean, Torque, Cole Keith. I think it's defensively an easier transition because we've seen it before. Guys go from short and they don't have the range anymore. So they go to third. They go from third to second. Second to first.
Sure, in the case of Cole Keith here. Texter says, because I brought up if they're going to pursue Bregman again next year, and it could be a very real nauseating possibility, Scott has to have a cutoff date. He can't get left with nothing. Texter says, you're saying they didn't have a contingency plan. That's not true. They had Vierling and Jace Young. Both of them are temporarily out of the picture at the same time. It doesn't seem like poor planning as much as bad luck. Well, Vierling had hardly played third. And Jace Young, for all the talk about you can't block him, is still an unproven young player. I mean, they didn't have a great backup plan.
There was nothing. The level of confidence that if you didn't get Bregman was not high.
Right.
Whether it's, Jace Young, and we're all excited. We think he could be, but he's not right now. And Vierling, that's a placeholder until you could figure it out with somebody a little bit better. The great thing about Vierling is he does hit.
Yes.
And he could play a number of different positions.
And that kind of where his value was, is he was a better outfielder than an infielder. Yeah. He'd only played like 70, 75 games at third base in his career. He would do it in a pinch because he's a versatile player, but it's clear the Tigers' preference to the point where they let all the other options go was Alex Bregman. Right, we said it when they added Gleyber Torres, it couldn't be the only bat they added, and lo and behold, it ended up being the only bat they added. So it does put more of a pressure on Spencer Torkelson to hit wherever he ends up in the lineup, wherever he ends up in the field. Good morning. As baseball season is back, we got it on the TV here. 6 a.m. in Tokyo. Well, 6 a.m. here. They're playing right now in Tokyo.
Yeah, Cubs up 1-0. About ready to give the defending champs their first loss of the season. Yeah, we'll see.
They're mortal. Benetti on the call, by the way. Look,
at least he's getting his warm up.
Yeah, there you go. And we're gearing up for the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Week from Thursday. The Jace Young thing yesterday. Are you sensing kind of a theme here? We had pitching chaos last year. Feels like it's going to be lineup chaos this year.
It's how it's going to start. Well, it was lineup chaos all of last year. I asked AJ that. They have no definitive one, especially with Parker Meadows out. And when Parker Meadows was sent down to AAA last year, it was a cast of characters at one. You have no idea who then's going to follow it too. It's really going to be, okay, right-handed or left-handed pitcher. It's going to be matchup dependent on what they're doing with the lineup. And hopefully at some point, it looks like Spencer Torkelson is going to be on the opening day roster, whether it's first,
DH,
third, DH, outfield.
He's not
going to
play third.
Well, I mean, he has that in his background.
Sure.
But it's, and if we're talking, chaos, who in the hell knows? But the lineup is absolutely going to be chaos.
No, I'm not. Okay, maybe I should phrase it differently. Platooning, cool. Not knowing who's going to play half the positions on your baseball team,
not cool.
Who's the center fielder on this team? Who's the third baseman on this team? Who's the shortstop on this team? I guess Trey Sweeney. John, I don't know. Who's playing?
I don't know. Has the nerve woken up yet? Do we have an update on the nerve?
Yeah.
Because if that happens, it feels like that's the linchpin to put everybody back in their right positions.
You bump somebody back, yeah.
Yeah, Parker Meadows at center. Now you've got a definitive center fielder, and you've got a leadoff hitter. You put Riley Green in left, whoever you want in right.
Based on pitching matchup.
Yeah. Right. Correct.
All right, just to prove our point here, let's play a little game.
Mm-hmm.
MLB.com posted the Tigers' projected lineup for opening day last night.
Mm-hmm.
Who's leading off?
Riley Green.
John?
Gleyber Torres.
Jim, you don't have it right yet.
So he's right then?
No, neither one of you.
Oh, we're going back and forth. Yeah. Oh, my God. Cole Keith.
No.
Oh.
You're proving the point. This is hilarious.
McKinstry.
No.
Please don't say.
Javi Baez.
No.
Name a Tiger.
Wenciel Perez.
Yes.
There you go.
In center field.
Yeah.
This is the frustration. Now, we thought the frustration was simply going to be, you know, who is going to be playing third base? And we found out, you know, a little too late that all the eggs were in the Bregman basket. Bregman decided he wouldn't want to come to Detroit. So then it was the excitement about a young prospect, Chase Young. And he has had an awful, awful spring training. In fact, so bad that they've already sent him down to AAA.
Yeah, did you think that was interesting, too, that they didn't give him another
couple days?
Yeah, give or take.
I think they saw, credit to them of not forcing the situation. I don't think there was anything that was going to happen in the next week to make them think that, okay, yeah, opening day, we want him to be, you know, our starting third baseman, whether it's in the field or at the plate, mostly at the plate.
The quote from AJ yesterday on Chase Young, his timing was off almost entirely. Even the first day, I know he ambushed a couple balls to the pull side. He just didn't make the adjustment timing-wise to make this team. That's tough news to deliver. It's tougher news to take. Yeah. He was pretty blunt about it.
Sure. Okay, that's master of the obvious.
Yeah.
No coach, especially if you like a young player, you like who they are, you like how they're working, and you don't want to send a guy down. Because you want the best for your guys.
You also don't want to sugarcoat it.
Right. And I don't think AJ is the guy that's going to really ever sugarcoat anything. And that's, as a player, That's all you want from your coach, your manager, whoever is leading your team, whoever's making this decision or delivering the news is shoot it to me straight. Don't blow smoke and then I end up in the same spot. Just tell me exactly what it is that I'm not doing, why you're sending me down, and don't beat around the bush, just do it.
See, I think it was so bad that maybe he was going to have a start like Meadows did last year. Remember when Meadows went down? He was hitting under 100. Like, this team can't withstand that in the lineup right now because it's got other problems.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's giving up on Chase Young. You bring up the Parker Meadows point. There's going to be an opportunity for Jace at some point this season if he's hitting to get to Detroit and make
an
impact.
Could also be a lesson that they learned last year because of what happened with Parker Meadows. Let's not repeat that with Chase Young.
But this is where it gets dicey is when over a year ago we were told that this guy was so good that you couldn't possibly add a veteran because you'd be blocking Chase Young. He still isn't ready, and that's okay. But what's not okay is not having a plan at third base.
That was Vierling.
So it's the injury is the reason we're doing the lineup chaos.
Well, it's part of it. It's part of the equation. Yes,
I thought
he
was
signed
more,
a third baseman,
but he seemed to be more of a right field option for them who could play third base.
An ideal world, yes. But we all know Vierling has that ability. Like part of the Swiss Army knife is he can play in a lot of different positions, but Vierling is not available. Parker Meadows is not available, both due to injury. Now, all of a sudden, it does. That's why it's a razor-thin roster in regards to what happens if those guys are injured.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Vierling's 28 years old, and I believe he'd only played like 75 games at third base in his career.
Right.
Not saying he couldn't do it, but that's a really tough spot when now you're going, all right, it's Zach McKinstry, Javi Baez, Andy Ibañez against lefties, but that's going to only be like 25% of the time. Most starters are righties. They don't have someone who can play third base and hit right-handed pitching right now. Their roster's built very odd. And I know AJ, maybe this is the question to people. Do you just trust that AJ is going to tinker his way to a winning record again this season? Because it is odd. They're very left-handed, but at the same time, they don't have someone who can play third base at all right now.
Well, so last year it was all about the pitching chaos. That was the headline. And part of that was because you felt like you had a win once every 5 days with Tarek Skubal. And most of the time you did. He was a Cy Young Award winner. And early on in the season, it was Jack Flaherty. And now all of a sudden, we still think at the end of the pitching rotation, while going into the season, you've got a number of good options. They will, you know, he will institute pitching chaos. What once every 5 days? Maybe it's once every 10 days because you just, you know, it's matchup dependent. But last year, what was overshadowed was A.J. Hinch pulling all the right strings at the right time of subbing guys in, pinch hitting, pitch running. And every game, it felt like there was a different lineup. Now, we were focused on the batting lineup, but it will be position dependent this year because of the injuries. And if Vierling doesn't come back, like I, this is where I still think they've got to address the situation. They're going to have to do it through trade. Free agency is over. You're not going to have Jace Young to start the season with, and you're hoping, hey, he goes down there, finds his timing, makes those adjustments quickly. But if that doesn't happen, you're going to have to address it through a trade.
Tom, who was the third baseman in this projected lineup for the Tigers opening day?
Hang on.
Okay. I got a couple ticket tags. This one says, Javi playing third could be a diamond in the rough.
Yes, that is possible.
So, I think that's something we're trying to talk ourselves into more than it is a likely outcome.
But it is a much more normal transition to go from short to third. It's not like that doesn't happen on a regular basis.
And this texter says, the fact that we're describing the Tigers lineup as chaos tells me they are a team of ragamuffins. It's the last time you heard someone use the word.
Yeah.
I use that word all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, I tell my daughter that.
That she is
a... If you don't brush your hair, you look like a ragamuffin.
Mm-hmm. Tigers, if you don't find a third baseman, you're going to be a team of ragamuffins.
Yes. It is literally the Bad News Bears.
So they have a Banyas at third.
Okay, because it'll be a lefty like Lee Snell on the bump, which makes sense.
Javi would be at
shortstop. The other issue isn't just at the plate, it's also defensively. Like, think about this lineup. You're so much stressed at center field without Parker Meadows. It's going to weaken you in the corner if you bump Riley. You're already going to be weaker in the corner. They don't love Carey Carpenter in the outfield. Torkelson's learning the outfield. Jay Hen is still kind of new to the outfield. And then we get to the infield, where Gleyber Torres led all of second baseman in errors last season, followed by Colt Keith, who's learning a new position. Are you sensing a theme here? Javi Baez is playing a position he hasn't played regularly since 2018. He's already got a couple errors over there. Like, it's not just at the plate. It's great that you're going to shuffle everybody around, but if nobody has a home and nobody can field their position, this pitching staff's going to be looking around going, another base runner because you can't field a ball?
Right. That's the disappointing part is, hey, a ground ball is, that's still a great pitch. It's still a pitcher doing his job, but if you boot it at second base or if you boot it at third base or you can't make a scoop at first, what good is being able to, the swing and miss is ideal. Are they just simply relying on
strikeouts,
swing and miss?
Yeah. And I got some good strikeout pitchers, but that is a tough road ahead. Let us know. How do you guys feel about it? We saw pitching chaos. It sure feels like it'll be lineup chaos for the Tigers when they break camp and play a week from Thursday. Tiger baseball on the horizon. We ended last year on a high. One game away from the ALCS. City was alive again. Baseball's back. Yet here we are, after a full offseason, looking at the lineup and saying, oh, it's going to be lineup chaos this season. And some of that is injury, Parker Meadows, Matt Vierling. It doesn't change the reality of it. Going into this season, they don't have much solidified across the diamond.
No.
I mean, we know Jake Rogers will catch Tarek Skubal. We know Gleyber Torres is going to play damn near every day at second base. Riley Green will play most days somewhere in the outfield.
Jake Rogers is going to catch Tarek Skubal.
Yeah, I said that, and I think that's it. I think everything else is very much up in the air. And I think the biggest source of all of this is third base. As you noted, Torque was drafted as a third baseman, has not played there professionally. Colt Keith at one point was a third baseman. Issues with his arm. They've moved him to the right side of the infield. Justin Henry Reloy was at one point a third baseman. Couldn't stick there with the glove, so they've bumped him.
I think there's a world if Spencer Torkelson, and this may be... Matt Vierling, I think, is going to be out long-term. And I know that Gov had mentioned that it might be a season. He kind of feels it's more of a season issue. Parker Meadows, whenever this nerve wakes up, if he's able to play in center, then I think there's a world where if Spencer Torkelson is able to hit, he's your first baseman, and they move Colt Keith over to third. And because they've got Gleyber Torres, you're not going to move Gleyber Torres.
No.
And he's only here for a one-year deal. But I think Colt Keith, having that in his background more recently than just about anybody else, even though he does have issues with his arm, the question will be, does that leave Colt Keith, because maybe he can't make some of those throws, vulnerable to an arm event?
What about Keith in right field?
Yeah, I think someone texted in about that, said put Keith in right field and Torque at first.
It seems like it would be, because we always talk about his athletic ability at second.
But the arm, if you don't feel like you got the arm for third, the arm for the outfield, you get stuck at first. I think it's very telling that they're putting him at first base. Read into that what you will, he's a right side of the infield guy. That's kind of code for noodle arm, right?
Yeah, I mean, people criticized him for being able to make throws to first base last year from second. So, look, the funny thing, this is comical what we're doing here. My concern is that this thing could go south if they don't get at least one of the outfielders healthy. I don't know who's supposed to lose. Who loses two outfielders? Yeah. Guys that are going to hit top five, top six in your lineup, maybe your leadoff hitter, probably your leadoff hitter, for a long term and has success. I think you can put Band-Aids on this for 30 to 45 days.
But it's a brutal 30 to 45 day stretch to start the season.
But I'm going to tell you something right now. I think people undervalue center field defense in baseball.
Especially in that ballpark.
Yeah, right. He prevented runs last year. Several of them. That won them games and got them in it. I think Parker Meadows was the most important player, why they made the playoffs and made that run last year. Yeah, I do.
You could argue it for sure.
I mean, he hit what? It wasn't around 280.
He was a linchpin, right? Lefty bat that could face righties, top of the order, steal bases, run the bases, steal home runs. Yeah, he was kind of everywhere.
It's going to hurt the pitching.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing.
Which is the whole thing. I mean, that's the one thing that maybe keeps you from jumping off the ledge, is they're going to have a great rotation. But if you can't score runs and you're booting balls in the field, you're going to waste. And that was a huge frustration last year, was wasting a really good rotation. I think the rotation's better, yeah, but it can make it even more agonizing if that doesn't materialize in wins and losses. And we're still scuffling when we get to May and June and July.
Especially if it takes the bats a little while to heat up. If you boot the ball at third base and it leads to a single run, you know, and a Tarek Skubal start, and he only gives up one run. But if the bats take too long to heat up, now you're losing games 1-0. That's part of the issue that we had at the beginning of last season that was so maddening. Jack Flaherty, what did he have? I forget what it was. His mom was in the stands, and he like retired the first 13 batters, and I think 8 or 9 of them, yeah, were strikeouts. They lose the game. 2-0, 1-0. Like, that is the ultimate frustration.
Tom, to answer your question, yes, there is concern that this goes south.
Right. I think if neither one of them come back, it'll be impossible to sustain without a trade.
On top of the third base issues and the fact that they have a bunch of guys with no defensive home.
Right. You build a baseball defense, catcher, second and short, you want strong. Up the middle. And then center field. And there's questions that Torres is below average. Mm-hmm. Maybe Javi can play average. Or Sweeney combined, maybe they can. That's what I'm saying. And then center field becomes a huge difference because of Meadows' speed.
So again, the Javi stuff, the might maybe is doing heavy lifting. He was a minus defender a year ago. I think what's more likely is he's booting balls on the left side of the infield.
So I think it's more likely that whatever this surgery was supposed to heal, like the flexibility of the hips, I think it pays off more, obviously, in the field than it does at the plate.
And so he's passable on the infield, but then at the plate.
So maybe he's improved defensively at that shortstop position, but are you even going to be able to have him at shortstop because he's got to play third because you have no other third baseman?
Right. I think if Meadows and Vierlein both are, let's say they both go 60-day DL. I hope not. But if they do, I think Torque will have to contribute for them to have success.
Let me raise a question.
He's going to have to be a big time contributor.
Right, because they need to score more runs because their defense is going to be hurt. Mm-hmm.
Does Scott have to make a trade at that point?
I just said that. I literally.
Are we allowed to ask that of Scott? Or I mean,
that's why I don't want to completely say, "Oh, I've got grave concern," because there would have to be moves to be made, but. You know, I look at Meadows, for example. Here's a guy. Okay, so if there's a 50-50 ball hit to the outfield and he's on third base, they're sending him. Wenzel Perez? I don't know.
Maybe.
That's a run.
Maybe.
They were
aggressive last year, so probably, yeah.
I mean, they were 54-28 when Meadows played last year.
And my reaction wasn't that I'm not mad at you for saying the same thing I just said, but I think that's where Tigers fans are getting to as we get closer to opening day is, okay, you didn't sign Bregman. Fine. You put that, a great offer out there. But what are you what is the backup plan? Because you can't plan for every injury. Injuries will devastate a team. We learned that with the Detroit Lions. It is going to be the same thing in every sport, but you've got to be able to have competent backup plans. And if you don't have young players that are ready to step in to bring up from AAA, then you have to go out there and find out. Maybe you're going to have to trade one of those prospects for a proven third baseman.
Yeah. I think that's just the thing with Scott is everybody can celebrate the prospect pool, which I'll give them credit for, right? They have the number one prospect pool in America. They're not all going to translate, but I get it. That's currency in baseball, and I'll give Scott Harris credit for that. I think what he did last year at the deadline, trading Flaherty and then getting him back, shows that he's elevated the organization. They're an appealing organization, and he knows what he's doing. Having said all that, third base has been an albatross for three seasons with Scott Harris.
With Scott Harris, longer than that.
I was going to say, we can go back. I mean, and Gator gave us a history lesson yesterday in crosstalk, but you can go all the way back to Fryman. I mean, we can really take this thing back.
Travis.
But you signed Gleyber Torres to a one-year deal, and at the time we said you needed the bat, so I understood. But then it displaced Keith, which displaces Torque, which creates this cascading effect on your defense. And how much better are they at the plate? They didn't land the signature bat that we all had pointed to, and it didn't have to be Bregman. Remember, there were five or six names when the offseason started. They went laser-focused tunnel vision on Bregman. Don't blame us for them going laser-focused tunnel vision on Bregman and not getting him. To not have a backup plan, the injuries are only going to make that more obvious, but it was going to be a problem regardless. So, Scott, if you get to the start of the season and you're looking around going, I got a bunch of ragamuffins, was the ticket text word, do something about it. You're the president of baseball operations.
Hey, it's and you can't just sit there and start the season and say, well, you're not going to win a division in late March, early April, going into May, but you could sure dig yourself a big enough hole.
And we've seen that story.
You can't dig out of.
Like last year, they got off to the hottest start they had under AJ in April. But the story for most of AJ's tenure here has been
awful start.
And to Tom's point, yeah, I think that's on the table here, and I am concerned.
And some things that maybe can happen. Like what if Colt Keith really rounds into form hitting-wise?
Yeah.
Consistent, doesn't have those slumps, you know? Like last year, Jim pointed out all the time, it was a roller coaster. Good month, bad month, good 3 weeks, bad 3 weeks, you know? If that, what impact that has on the win-loss column, if that can become more consistent?
Texter says, get Tom Brookins in here. Is he still available?
Oh, come on. Isn't that cross the line now in terms of, like, going too old?
Yes.
I think, that was the point.
That was the humor.
Yes.
I mean, we could have gone further back if you'd like. What was Valeni's sighting a few weeks back?
Well, we start getting dangerous here in terms of these people alive. And
bring Lou back and, you know, it gets one more season in and then we could put him back on the ballot. I mean, that's the hilarity of that
text. Yeah, but Gleyber stuck a second.
It's no Mike Schmidt. Anyway, we got two Grand Slam.
Tram? We bring Tram back at short?
See, the Detroit Lions are going to bring back Shane Zylstra, tight end.
Yeah.
Signed to a one-year deal.
Banned.
Yeah, getting the band back together.
Which I'm okay with. I'm actually quite fine with it. I think they will have more additions to come. But in the meantime, what they built, I'm very confident they were good enough to win the damn Super Bowl last year and whole thing got nuked, but they made one huge upgrade that I think, shouldn't say huge upgrade. They made one really great signing. I think the DJ Reed signing for the money and what he may be as a player. I'm getting more and more comfortable with the fact that that's an upgrade that helps the pass defense, which is the overall goal of having a great pass rush is to add to the pass defense. And so that helps the pass defense. They can figure out the side opposite of Hutch and maybe an offensive lineman or two. I think they might come back next year. you know, noticeably better. And oh, by the way, noticeably healthier. So, Gator, we were talking about the Tigers there before the break, and just asking people, just overall, we're 9 days away from the season. The injuries are concerning. It feels like when you're having to repurpose Javi Baez and Spencer Torkelson in different ways for different reasons. But there's no Parker Meadows. The Veerling thing isn't super encouraging. Chase Young was supposed to be a candidate for third base, and he got sent down. But pitching, I mean, Casey Mize, you don't want to overreact to spring training results, but you're talking about all the metrics and all the spin rates and, you know, his location, and they just, they're by all measurements, they're like, this is filthy stuff that Casey Mize is parading out there with. It should carry over. It should carry over. I feel actually decent about that. I think this team's going to compete in this division as is.
I think the pitching, the starting pitching in particular, can be really, really good. You know, if Skubal is what we think he is, that's great. You know, Flaherty's been consistent now for a couple seasons. Really nice. And Reese Olson has a bunch of talent. And so the top three look really nice. I'm excited if Jackson Jobe makes the team just as a fan because, hey, this is one of these bright young prospects you have that you want to see. And he doesn't need to be Justin Verlander right away, but I think he could be fun to watch. And then with Casey Mize bringing up the rear, yeah, it's a really good rotation. It should keep you in games. Not sure how good the bullpen's going to be this year. Bullpen's 1 year to next, you really don't know. I love the addition of Tommy Canley. I think that helps settle things down at the back end. But with the Tigers, as has been kind of the case, what's the lineup?
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to score enough runs? Can they get on base? It was a real problem with this team last year.
Feedback coming in. They're going to be very mediocre. Offense still a big question mark. No third baseman or shortstop. Defense is bad. Fourth in the division. Okay, let's talk about very mediocre. This division, if you are mediocre, last year the difference between the Tigers and not making the playoffs was... Or the Tigers in 500 was five games. They've won five games that they didn't lose. It took them to five games. They were finished 10 games over. The difference is winning or losing those five games that take you from 81 and 81 to 86 and 76. And, you know, it's not like guys are lost for the season. And the other thing that I swear I think is going to be a blessing, at some point, the mindset of the front office is going to change and they're going to go, we're going to add something. They tried to add Alex Bregman. So they already were trying to add a third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
I think what might be the blessing in disguise is that they won't have Alex Bregman for the length of contract they were going to have him. And they can take that resource financially into the trade deadline and get somebody that makes even more sense than Alex Bregman on a contract that makes even more sense than Alex Bregman, which very well may be a rental, but so what if they're trying to win this year? They still have that money that they had budgeted for Bregman that they haven't spent elsewhere yet, including on re-signing Skubal, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but I don't know that's going to happen with a Boris client. And they can take that to the trade deadline.
That they can. They have plenty of assets to improve this club with prospects and money. So I absolutely, they can. They need to be in a position to do it, though. You'd hate for this team to get off to another slow start, get to the deadline, and then they're like, all right, I guess we got to sell off again because we're not going anywhere. Let's, you know, and then we're going to get into this Skubal talk again, which neither of us wants to do, but it might just end up being a reality. Or it goes the other way. The team's off to a good start, and they're in contention for playoffs right away, and then they could take a long-view approach and not have to wait until the end of July to make that move, but go ahead and make a move in June and identify the right player. Hey, we got a screaming need for a left-side infielder, or we need a power-hitting outfield, whatever the case is. That if it identifies itself, that they've got the wherewithal to make a move happen. There's just, it seems like right now there's just too many prospects that they have to not make a move and not take advantage of this. And again, they're just prospects. You don't know what they're going to be like until you see them in major league action. But that's what the game is. That's what everybody looks at.
248-539-9797. Carson in a car says, couldn't have been a fluke. They won a series last year. Does that mean it's not a fluke? That validates it as you win the series. Torres refuses to play third. That's why he isn't with the Yankees. That from an unnamed texter, and that's actually true. So if he wouldn't play for the Yankees, he probably wouldn't play it here. So thank you. Man, if our two number one picks could do something and contribute, how thrilled would you be? Be pretty thrilled. I think the question is, I mean, 1-1, they are not trending towards being worth it. At this point, all I'm asking is that Casey Mize help this team win now. If anything happens with Torkelson, I'll be surprised and pleasantly surprised if anything ever comes out of that.
I get the feeling that if Casey Mize simply stays healthy, maybe it's not a simple thing to say, but simply stays healthy,
yep,
I think he'll be a plus pitcher in this rotation. Injuries have really held him back. Torkelson, I don't know if Tork just gets in his own head or what, or maybe he's just not major league talent, but the 31 home runs from a couple of years ago tells me otherwise. There's something to be unlocked there, and maybe he's found that this spring. But you gotta start off the year hitting for anybody to have that kind of confidence in you. And then you worry if he doesn't, is that going to get in his head again, and is he just going to be a basket case?
All right, Gator, tell you what. I think that went so well yesterday. We'll do another March Madness quiz today at 12:35.
Oh, no.
It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, Twin Peaks fans, the Madison Heights location is throwing a party 10 years in the making. You heard it right. They're celebrating 10 years of eats, drinks, and scenic views, and they're throwing a blowout bash tonight to share the joy with their loyal fans. In-store DJ, raffle and prizes, swag, giveaways, and a very special in-store photo shoot. You heard it right. 10 of the best Twin Peaks girls from Madison Heights will be strutting their stuff in a live photo shoot as they enter for their chance to be crowned Miss Twin Peaks. You've even got Detroit hockey action on as they chase the playoffs in a monster matchup. You may want to clear your schedules all week and stay close by because the best tournament in the world starts Thursday, and what better way to kick it off than with our show live at Twin Peaks? Yes, sir, we'll be broadcasting live from Twin Peaks Thursday and Friday to kick off the best 2 days in sports. They'll be opening the doors early, so get ready to spend all day and all night at the best place to watch live sports. They're even taking it a step further with awesome samplings of Jose Cuervo's Devil's Reserve and your chance to win a 98-inch TV courtesy of ABC Warehouse. Don't miss any of the half-court heaves, buzzer beaters, and slam dunks. It's Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
All right, 97-1. We'll get back into the tournament, get a tournament update at 2:45. We'll do a little blitz. But I wanted to play this audio for you. I'm not going to build it up and to be something it's not. It's interesting. Depending on your perspective, it could be infuriating. But Al Avila is talking about the fateful winter that they decided to sign Javi Baez. And I think the part that's going to anger you is he was warned. But take a listen to this, and you'll hear a reference in here that there was another player. That other player was Carlos Correa. So take a listen, though, and I want you to hear the alarm bells that were rung, and they still went through with it.
Yeah.
Take a listen. Oof. Let me just give you my quick takeaways, and then Rico will take you to six. No, a lot of people could have predicted he fell off a cliff. If you want to say not historical worst season in history, all right, point for Al. But he was warned, and he still did it. I think the other thing that kind of got to me, not angry, but it just went, oh, okay, we weren't going to go there. I couldn't go there. That's the famous $300 million line in the sand. Remember, they offered the low ball. Mm-hmm. Then he goes with Minnesota on a short-term deal. Again, he tried to approach it with the owner. And I believe in Al's words, quote, Chris went, well, I don't know. Those are the things I pull out of it more than anything else.
Yeah. What about this Javi guy? Can we do it with him?
Yeah, you did, and you're still paying for it with a six-year deal that is going to go down in history. It's going to make Juan Gonzalez look like a value.
But no, look, you know what? Here's real quick. I'm going to give you full credit for this, Mike, because I remember when the Correa thing was going down, and I was like, you know what? What if they went after Bias? And you're like, Javi Bias? You're like, no, that would be the biggest mistake if this team did that. Yeah, I didn't think that his numbers were going to go that way. I thought, you know what? Maybe he could bounce back, get out of New York, come to Detroit. You know, resurgence of his career. No. Yeah.
Whoops, wrong one.
Okay.
David moved these damn buttons, and now the muscle memory's gone. I got to relearn everything. I got to relearn to walk. David, what's your I mean, here's the one thing. This has always been Al Avila. I don't think it'll ever change. He's too honest. Even, like, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. Don't say it.
Right.
All you're going to do is upset people more.
No, see, you're exactly right about that. Talking about what they knew and what they believed. They were telling him that he was going to fall off. His numbers were not looking good. We didn't play it, but there's other audio within this interview on DetroitNews.com about how he still never really wanted to trade Verlander. He never wanted to trade JD and all of this stuff. And it just, if they're telling you that Javi Baez is falling off, then just stay away. I get it. Yeah. He says Ryan Kreiler was young, and he may not have been ready. And
yeah, well, he stinks, he's still not ready.
But here's the thing. I would have rather you gone that way than what – if they're telling you he's falling off, say no.
Like, whatever misgivings I have about Scott Harris, it is not even a conversation from a brain power perspective. I mean, Scott Harris operates on a different plane than Al Avila.
Yeah.
And I may not like everything they do, including – Alex Cobb. The point is, Scott Harris has done the things that Al Avila wasn't really able to do. Now, look, Scott Harris also inherited some players that hadn't blossomed yet that Al brought here. Like, we do have to acknowledge that. I don't want to be totally unfair. Like, your best hitter is an Al Avila guy. Mm-hmm. It's Gary Carpenter. It's Riley Green. These are things that Scott Harris had nothing to do with. You know, Jackson Jobe, that's an Al Avila thing. Now, again, do I think Al made a mistake taking Jobe versus a shortstop in that draft? Sure, but whatever. It's dead and gone now. And we're still sitting here with Javi Baez. But overall, like, all I can tell you that audio does is make me feel better about that you have Scott Harris.
See, I wonder, did they do a pivot and say, well, you know what, let's learn from the Javi mistake and let's not go for plan B. When Bregman thing fell through, it was, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out with who we have on the roster. And if we have to, we'll just, you know, we'll platoon third base.
Well, I think, okay, if you end up running your team the way they're running it, this is just an opinion. This is not breaking news. I'm offering this to you. I think the way this goes down is simple. Hey, I'm going to run my baseball team on a budget. And if you don't like it, you're not going to get the job. So why don't you tell me how you're going to run my baseball team with this budget? And here's Scott Harris, and he opens up his Bloomberg terminal in the interview, and he goes, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play Hildebrand at first. This money ball thing that they're doing, I mean, that's why you do it. Mm-hmm. Real teams don't do this stuff. Real teams with real budget. So do the Tigers eventually evolve into something where he's going to have his Al Avila moment? Yeah, I think the Bregman thing would have. I wasn't comfortable going where they went.
Right.
My issue is they didn't make a trade this offseason, and they didn't do anything else. It was Bregman or bust. I was never comfortable under those terms. Now, yes, I would have taken Alex Bregman. But when you started to get into 6 and 7 year offers, no. And I'm glad the Red Sox did what they did, because honestly, as stupid as it sounds to pay the $40 million a year AAV, he makes more money than Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. At least it's 3 years with a 1 year opt out.
Right. And it also tells me, Mike, he really didn't want to come here.
He didn't.
All the money was there. And it was just like, wait, like he was slowly walking towards the airport like, well, I guess we're heading to Detroit. And wait, was that the phone ringing? It's Boston. Yes.
Right. As long as it's not a call from Korea, I'm in.
You are exactly right. And I cannot fault the Tigers at all.
No, and I haven't.
Because listening to that audio, you're like, we thought all along we were going to Detroit. And I'm thinking, well, then just go to Detroit. Mm-mm. He was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
But this
please
is the thing.
Call me.
David, the problem in all of it is, on one hand, Scott Harris is incredibly intelligent. But on the other, the player was a bad fit for this place. Us wanting him because he was the only option or the best option at third is one thing. That's true. But is it a far better fit for him to not go to the Cubs, not go to the Tigers, and end up where he ended up? Yes. Like, if I'm Scott Boras, I want to get him to Fenway because of the ballpark, the park factor, the way he hits. He comes here, I think he was going to fade quick. But for our purposes in the next 2 years, I think we would have been okay. So, yeah, the appeal thing, I didn't get bent out of shape, but I wanted to play it for the people. Yeah. And just, hey, you do what you want with it. But yeah, he was warned. His own people are like, maybe not.
Full steam ahead.
Okay.
I didn't think it's going to be that bad.
Well, it was.
It is that
it
bad.
It was worst case worse. Scenario. You sign Javi and then realize.
Well played.
Oh, that's good. I love that, man.
This guy's got a 510 OPS. -8 defensive run saved. All right, I'm done. That's gratuitous. David, some big attacks coming in, and we'll get a tournament update.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. A lot of these guys on this roster are from Al. It was the other things that he couldn't do, meaning trades and free agency, that was the downfall of the Tigers.
Yeah, and look, what Scott Harris has been able to do is, in warp speed, start to get the farm system together. And no, I don't mean some stupid ranking. The ranking doesn't mean a lot. It's about the quality of players they're bringing in, the trades they're making at the minor league level, minor scouting, right? Like this Lorenzo kid they've brought in. Like, they're making smart moves and getting players that people are going, wow, the Tigers didn't trade for a doorknob? You know, for years, the Tigers would make these trades for prospects and they'd be like, well, what'd you get? And it'd be like a mop and a bucket. So now Harris is doing that. But yeah, your best prospect is still Jackson Jobe. And The debate will rage on, at least in my stupid mind. You got Clark and McGonigal, or you got Wyatt Langford? Scott Harris better be right, because if Langford goes out and builds on the damn near 800 OPS he had last year in a rookie season for the World Series champs, and he was hurt, look out. He had two balls yesterday over 110 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because here's another problem. These other players may end up being awesome. They're not here. They're not here. They weren't here last year.
Right.
They're not here this year. And you don't know if they'll be here next year. You can wish it, hope for it, but how do you know it's not the next Jay Shung who needs more time? I'm done. That's it. David, anything else?
Yeah, I'll just read one more here regarding Michigan. Someone says, Dusty May is maddening. I don't see how he makes this happen. I don't know what it's going on with the coaching. Do his players not do what he's asking them? It's weird.
The turnover problem is something that he brought with him from Florida, Atlanta.
He just needs guards. That's all. It'll get better.
I'm just saying, for 3 years, they turned the ball over there.
I know.
At some point, it's not the guards. It's you, because you put up with this.
Well, he better take the investment they gave him in the NIL in his new deal and go get some guards.
Well, listen, it's his first year. The fact he went 8-24 last year and you got a coach who helped you win the Big Ten Conference Championship tournament and you want to, I don't care if he got lucky, you won a game in the tourney. David, can the guy have 10 minutes to build the roster, please?
Okay, and then I'll need the next 10 minutes in the offseason.
All right.
Well, see, no, I was the same sorry, about I'm building sorry. The roster, but then I went and looked at what he did in Florida. I'm like, they turned the ball over there, too.
FanDuel, turning excitement up higher for college hoops. First two rounds of the tourney. Bet on the lowest winning seed of the day, and you'll win a share of $1 million in bonus bets. It's FanDuel. It's simple. I mean, I don't know. Look, Robert Morris was giving Bama a hell of a run today. Looks like they're going to fall short. But that would have certainly been the lowest seed to win today. All right, we want to have a little fun here. We do this every year, and the articles are everywhere. We can get Evan Jenkins for this if you like to. Every year, these ballparks, spring training wraps up, and you see all the teams start rolling out all these ridiculous things they're going to serve to you, the people at the park. Well, who's the ultimate bleacher creature? Kenny Cott. Who's the man who has a bidet? Factually, Kenny Cott. We have new ballpark treats, and Kenny ranks it on a scale of 1 to 5 flushes.
Oh, we're bringing back the flush scale. I like that.
It has to be.
Love it.
David, the music, please. A reminder, these are all debuting at Major League ballparks this year.
What's the highest ranking? How many flushes? Three?
I can't remember. Is flush good or bad? Because generally, you think flush would be bad, right?
I think it's bad. Okay. I think all of this is bad.
Okay. So five flushes is bad. One flush is the best.
It's good.
All right. Okay.
I want to figure out the rules here.
Let's head out to Citi Field, guys.
Five flushes. Amen, Evan. Amen.
I wish it would sink into the bay.
Let's get the Mets Championship Burger. It is made with the Pat LaFleur.
It's actually a paper plate of air. It's the only championship they're going
to
see.
It's not supposed to be ripping the Mets.
I'm sorry. And it's only $22.99.
Go ahead.
It is made with Pat LaFrieda prime dry aged beef.
What is Pat LaFrieda, Mike?
It's the biggest meat supplier in the New York City region.
Because anytime, Kenny and I have done these a couple times on Cash the Ticket, and it's always Pat LaFrieda's meat.
It's just,
okay. I was just curious.
Is it good? Is it?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 5 flushes for you?
No, it's a 1. It's a very high quality, high end.
Or
meat? No, they service some of the best restaurants in the city,
dude. Any of those stadiums will say Pat LaFrieda.
Yeah, we didn't know what that was.
All right. So it has dry aged beef,
thank you.
A Maine lobster salad, and a lobster fondue sauce, and a charred lemon brioche.
Okay, see, here's the problem. I always think of it like this. I'm not a seafood guy, but something that you want to eat when it's 85 degrees, I'm thinking probably not seafood salad.
Not on top of a burger.
Why would you eat any of this at a baseball game if you plan on watching said baseball game? Five flushes, not in this lifetime or the next.
I'm thinking if it's just a regular burger, fine. But like, why are you adding seafood and it's hot outside?
They put charred lemons on the damn thing.
Correct.
What?
This is awful.
Correct. I'm going flushes. Four.
Four?
Four flushes.
Five. If there was more than five, I'd give it more than five.
Imagine a 90-degree day, the humidity on Long Island.
Right.
Planes buzzing over your head from LaGuardia. Hey, Kenny, here's some room temperature lobster salad on your
Whoopee cushion drop, whoopee cushion drop. That's exactly what that turns into to me.
And by the way, $23.99.
Oh, is that actually the price?
Oh, I thought you were being serious.
No, that's what I was saying.
It's probably more expensive at Citi Field.
The plate of air is $22.99.
Let's get over to Dodger Stadium. They are getting rid of the Dodger dog.
What?
And replacing it with the new carne asada torta.
What?
It's a Mexican-style sandwich full of seasoned carne asada and a fluffy bread topped with pinto beans, grilled onions, grilled jalapenos, tomatoes, shredded lettuce, and avocado puree.
You may as well just pack your own wet wipes. I don't even understand.
What sandwich?
How do you get rid of the hot dog at a baseball game for that?
That's what it says. I cannot believe they're really getting rid of the dog. They can't, man.
I vote this four flushes, just only because it doesn't feature lukewarm crustaceans.
I give it five flushes because they replaced the staple of American baseball of hot dogs with this.
I agree.
Five flushes.
My issue is if you're not even in an office, it is a liability to eat such things. The idea of going to a ball game and we're going to rifle meat that's been under a warmer, ample amount of beans. I mean, do your own math. I mean, what are we doing?
Nobody wants to do that at a stadium, right, by the way.
Four flushes. The only place worse you could have to take a duty is an airplane. You got to think about these things.
I'd rather
do
it on the airplane than a stadium.
Oh, no way.
Okay, maybe you would like this.
There are some clean gas stations.
Most aren't.
Okay, but time out. Does it have a door? Are you folded up like a ball? You can't go. I don't know how anyone goes
talking about the gas station that has like one stall.
Oh. Look, it's not optimal, but anything's better than a plane.
Really?
Dude, no, that's nightmare fuel.
I think it's peaceful.
On an airplane?
Hey, you're by yourself. Who's interrupting?
You are not by yourself. You are in a theater of 200 people.
But there's a door.
Listen, people are waiting for you to come out.
This is nightmare. Like this,
a nightmare fuel.
This is the stuff you wake up in a cold sweat.
Yeah, like I'd rather vomit all over myself than have to use the plane.
You're Tracy Morgan.
Oh, yeah. If I could choose, yeah, I'd rather just do that and wheel me out. Put me in the Paul Pierce wheelchair. The people that poop on a plane are sociopaths.
All right. He's
coming out of his mind, though, when that's happening.
Does anybody want any food? I mean, we.
I did not realize this. Oh, no.
What do you care? Your eyeballs are bouncing off the back of your skull by the time they're taxiing. Hey, Rico, how's the flight?
Do you want some dessert?
Yeah.
If you do, let's head over to Guaranteed Rate Field and let's get the Celebration Cake Shake. Ooh. They are celebrating 125 years, and you can get the birthday cake ice cream, confetti cake, a pinwheel cookie, and a cherry.
And they'll amputate your foot for you, just for the diabetes that you're going to eventually have.
Here's the thing, though. If you're going to have that, let's hope that the roof is closed, because Guaranteed Rate, that's Phoenix, right?
No, Guaranteed Rate is Chicago.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They ought to just serve you cyanide at that point. Yeah. You're there watching the White Sox? Serve melatonin milkshakes, will you? Put people out. I'm going to say
out of my misery.
This is five flushes. I don't like super sugary stuff like that anyways, and that's got stomach ache written all over it.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'm out on that.
Same reasoning, four flushes for me.
See, one flush. I'm drinking that thing, and I wish I had it right now.
I could have called that from the start of this thing,
Evan. That sounds like something you get if you're out on a date and you two can just share that.
I ain't sharing that. That's all me.
Other than that, nah.
That thing sounds great. Yeah,
the cup actually has a picture of Wilford Brimley on it.
Diabetes.
Diabetes supplies.
125 years on one side. Brimley on the other side.
Diabetes on the other.
Let's head over to Houston if you want the Pennant Pickle Dog.
It has
Texas chili on a foot-long hot dog, jalapeno slaw, fried pickles chips, dill aioli, and green onions.
Yes, one flush, all in.
Yeah,
I'm all in. All of that I like.
Five.
I'll do that one.
God bless.
Dude, fried pickle chips on a dog? Yes, please.
Okay. Fried pickle chips, period.
Pickle aioli. What is that? I want to try that.
You're eating a hot dog at a ballpark in Houston, okay? Translation, pig lips and ass. Second of all, you're hitting it with canned chili. Then we're throwing jalapenos in the mix.
No. Jalapeno if it's slaw. In Houston, everything is beef in Texas.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure. I don't think they know what a pig is.
Fine,
in Texas.
Beef nards. Whatever.
It sounds awesome.
It's still a hot dog, though, guys. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Hot dog's a hot dog, man.
I'm out on that. Five flushes.
One.
Rico?
All in.
I'm in.
Okay.
All right, here you go. You said Phoenix. Let's head over to Chase Field, Rico.
Ah, the Corbin Carroll Sunday.
And let's get the Millionaire Steak Sandwich. Brioche hoagie filled with beef tenderloin medallions, black truffle cheese sauce, mushrooms, and garlic aioli.
If I can take the nasty
truffle,
I don't like too. The flavor of that crap. Everything else sounds delicious, and it's a steak. That does not upset your stomach. I'm in. Okay. I would do this.
Well, if you don't want that, let's try dessert there. Apple pie chimichanga.
No. Yeah. No.
Yes.
No.
Frozen yogurt. Good. Caramel sauce, whipped cream, Cracker Jacks, and strawberries.
Yes.
And they amputate your toes.
I'm good. No strawberries, but I'm good.
I'll take the steak sandwich,
no
one flush.
Strawberries? What?
I'll take Rico's strawberries. We're okay.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Look at David judging you.
I know.
Strawberries? That's the no?
Normally, David yells at like non-religious people this way. This is exciting.
What's your beef with strawberries?
He don't like them.
All right.
It's objective.
Well, then, because he don't like them.
You
know what?
You head over to the Manoogian then.
Yeah.
Because he don't like them, I'll take you over to T-Mobile Park.
You can't say that.
I'll take you over to T-Mobile Park and give you the Dungeness Crab Pizza.
No.
With warm butter, dill, thyme, and Parmesan.
Wait, what?
It's a pizza.
No.
That's
with crab.
It's crab pizza.
No. Oh, my God.
We've had crab pizza before, haven't we?
Once again, at a ballpark.
Can you imagine what that smells like in 90-degree heat?
Yeah, 90 degrees. No. It's hot.
It's been
sitting out.
It's going to smell even worse after.
Evan,
you're
good. You're in on one?
I'm going to try it. I'm going to say two flushes.
Five flushes. No shot.
That's a five for me.
Yeah.
And then we can close it out with a simple dog from Oriole Park at Camden Yards. They have the warehouse dog. I said simple. No, it's not. It is a foot-long, all-beef dog topped with horseradish-infused brick sauce, crispy onions, and pit beef queso.
No.
Horseradish is
served on a pretzel bun.
Oh, yes. All in.
Five flushes.
No flush.
You're not going to be watching a game in the bottom of the seventh. You're gonna be bleeping
at an
MLB stadium with queso.
Yeah.
And the horseradish.
Certain things aren't meant to be mixed together.
Take the horseradish away. I'm at one flush, but I'm at five for that.
Hey, Mike, how about this? David, real quick. How about a good sausage and pepper sandwich like Mama V's? The roll made the difference. Crusty outside, soft inside.
Yeah. That's normal food.
Five flushes.
No. That's just a that won't upset your stomach. It's very nice.
Yeah. In all
it's
in.
A very nice sandwich.
That's from Big G's ballpark.
It is. Yes. Yeah, my dad would also be serving like Gallimard. I mean, come on. That's you imagine my dad's ballpark. Oh, here you go. I've got provolone white anchovies and crusty bread. Okay, Dad, put it away. Merlot on tap.
All I know is if he walks, hey, I got those sliders you like. In.
Done. Yeah, guys, here's the deal. We've lost our minds. And by the way, all these things are probably $30 a piece.
Right.
At least.
If not more, because yeah. Here's the
thing. I'm back with Evan. Just give me a Dodger dog.
That's it.
And leave me alone.
Good old Fenway Frank just soaking right. in that water. And for by the way,
Fenway does a great sausage and pepper sandwich.
They do.
Not really? That anybody cares, but they do.
Okay.
But they're scumbags otherwise, but great sauce.
But yeah, all that other stuff.
Yeah, find a bathroom near
it's
you.
Hot. Like all the ice cream melts, the yogurt melts.
Diabetes.
Yeah.
It's hot and I was hungry.
So you're not a sweets guy.
No.
Okay.
Coming to a local bathroom near you.
Yeah,
exactly. That is your ballpark food list.